Welcome one and all to another week here at the Damage Report. It is yet another fantastic Monday with Francesca Fiorentini, who joins us now. Francesca, how's it going?
It's beginning to look a lot like Crimus everywhere he goes. I didn't do this part. You know, John.
What?
Years ago, if you told me that we would get within this close of Trump inside a prison striking distance, I would not have believed you. I still don't believe you. I know that's going to be the topic of top 10 today, but
top 10 list, yes.
I'm very excited. Like, I, you know what? Mm-hmm. We need this. I need this for my healing. Think of the sleepless nights. Think of all the ways that Donald Trump has filled our brains with his BS.
And will today, actually. Yes, and that we would get these federal indictments so soon after the state level indictments, and so soon before what could be in August Georgia indictments. Yeah, yes. There's a lot going on, and we don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, but we have some fun details coming out of the weekend that we're going to be talking about on the show. Trump brawling with Bill Barr is pretty fun. And we also had over the weekend the North Carolina GOP convention. And that was insane. That was a crazy thing. Both the people on the stage and the people looking at the people on the stage out of their minds. So we have some fun video to talk about. And the very real possibility that this week we'll see acts of politically motivated terrorism. So that's really fun. There's also, I don't know, highways are collapsing all over America. And we're gonna end the hour with just a little bit of good news potentially for some workers in New York. And that's just in the first hour. In the aftermath, we're gonna jump into the Young Women's Leadership Summit. I've said for a long time that women do need motivation and it should come from conservative men. I think we can all agree on that. So that's gonna be fun. And then we have news from around the world. In meanwhile, including rat news finally returning. So
hell yeah,
lots to look forward to.
It's been way too long.
Well, we need to get going for the next time that we do a rousing rendition of It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Crimus. We need like a snowing effect of little like classified documents concerning nuclear preparedness.
Box hoax.
100%. Anyway, that's all coming up now. So please hit the like button if you haven't already. Let people know that we're live and they can come and join in the conversation. And if you want to have part of that conversation come our way, send us tweets, your comments, your super chats, whatever you want, and we'll respond as we go. But with all that said, Francesca, are you ready to start the show?
Oh yeah, so ready.
Well, then let's have a little bit of fun. We want to dive this week into the evidence of obstruction of justice that made up just a part of the dozens of charges that Donald Trump is facing in the handling of the classified documents scandal. What is most fascinating about this area of the investigation is how much work Donald Trump did to ensure that everyone knows every way that he tried to obstruct the attempt to get the documents back. But also that it appears to be one of his lawyers who has provided the vast majority of the information, which I don't know exactly why, but it makes it more delicious. Anyway, this is Evan Corcoran. You can see a shot of him here and a great write-up, by the way, if you want to get more details from the New York Times on this. But some of these revelations are just amazing. It's like Donald Trump like asked ChatGPT, what are all of the most obvious ways that you can try to obstruct an investigation? And then he just speed ran through the list. So he first says to Evan Corcoran, what happens if we just don't respond at all or don't play ball with them? That's what he says to Evan Corcoran in response to the subpoena in 2022 demanding that he return these classified documents. So pretending you didn't get the subpoena or just refusing to answer it is the first way that you obstruct an investigation. You literally don't comply with it. You can't do that, by the way. It's not like a, oh, sorry, I was just busy that day or I didn't hear you. That's not how it works. But that's the first way that he tried to obstruct this thing. Bear in mind, he's talking to a lawyer. Lawyers, of course, as we found out with Rudy Giuliani and some of other Trump's lawyers, face actual career ramifications if they take part in illegal acts. This is Donald Trump telling his lawyer, what if we break the law? Which is fun. But that statement that I read to you is also the least ridiculous part of this. So at one point, according to the notes, Mr. Trump expressed concern about Mr. Corcoran sorting through the materials in the boxes he had taken from the White House, even though he had brought Mr. Corcoran on specifically to handle the efforts to recover the material. He said, "I don't want anybody looking through my boxes. I really don't. I don't want you looking through my boxes." So Evan Corcoran, who comes there to get the documents back, he says, "I don't want you looking," which is the most suspicious thing you can say to the guy who's supposed to be recovering documents. Don't go near the, not that one especially. Stay out of the bathroom, stay out of the ballroom.
Stay out of the shower.
Super suspicious. There's two more levels of suspicious behavior. We'll get to those, but Francesca, what do you think?
My boxes, I really don't want you, like, okay, fine, you can touch my hair, touch it. Yes, look, I am wearing diapers. You can touch the diapers. You can touch my daughter, Ivanka. I want to, like he just like anything but his boxes. I love that this is all he has left. And it's just like, it's like the kid who had all of the Beanie Babies in school and being like, look at all the Beanie Babies. You can't touch a Beanie Baby. You know, you're like, oh my God, nobody wants your Jesus, you know, but they just want to show it off. And the other thing is like, are his lawyers not properly telling him like, hey, ooh, hang on, don't incriminate yourself or loop me into anything, because I can actually legally not go with you down that path. I can defend you, I can represent you, but stop criming. Here's the thing about crimes. You need to stop them before I can defend you against the ones that are already coming down the pike. If it's just endless crimes, I'm never gonna get out ahead of this. And it's so funny. It's like imagine going out to dinner with like Harvey Weinstein, you know, or just being within like, you know, like loogie distance of any like of Bill Cosby. It's like you wanna, this is Trump's lawyers. They wanna touch, don't wanna touch him with a 10-foot pole. They wanna make sure that they're not implicated in anything, because the walls are closing in, and if they're not careful, they're gonna be caught inside of those walls.
Yeah. The amazing thing about Evan Corcoran appearing to have provided so much of this information to the investigators is Donald Trump had what would seem to be a foolproof plan to maintain the loyalty of his lawyers. Step one was admit all of your crimes, and step two was refuse to pay them for their services. You would think that that's locked it up, but it didn't. So anyway, it gets worse. So why don't we just not play ball, which you can't do. I don't trust you looking through these things. Please don't look through my boxes when that's the whole reason that you're here. That's weird. Then, and Evan Corcoran, I don't know at this time, I don't think he knows it. He goes to his other lawyers and says, yeah, just take a bunch of those boxes out of there before he gets to them. So that's highly obstructive. But then, so Evan Corcoran does his investigation, and despite Trump and Walt Nauta's efforts to take all the boxes away before Evan Corcoran could find the documents, he still finds documents because there were so many around. So in response to this, I cannot believe this paragraph exists. In one of the most damaging passages of the notes, Mr. Corcoran describes how Mr. Trump made a quote, plucking motion after he had placed about 40 secret documents in a folder in preparation for handing them over to federal prosecutors. Mr. Corcoran said the gesture made him think that Mr. Trump was suggesting that he should take the folder to his hotel room, quote, his hotel room, and if there's anything really bad in there, like, you know, pluck it out. I hope that I don't need to explain to the audience how highly illegal that is and highly unwise it is to tell your lawyer, look, I did everything I could to stop you from getting these documents, but I biffed it and you got some. So could you now get rid of the documents? That's madness. Obviously the guy's not gonna do that. Evan Corcoran is not Rudy Giuliani. He's not going down with this ship. That's madness. But somehow, there's maybe one layer beyond that. When he makes it even more explicit what he wants than the plucking motion, Mr. Trump went on to speak admiringly about an unnamed lawyer for Hillary Clinton. Trump claimed that the lawyer had taken responsibility for deleting emails from a private server for her. He was great. He did a great job. He said that it was him, that he was the one who deleted all of the emails, the 30,000 emails, because they basically dealt with her scheduling and her going to the gym and her having beauty appointments. And he was great. And she didn't get any trouble because he said that he was the one who deleted them. That is,
I have a friend.
You take the fall for it. That's madness.
No, but
I don't know how obstruction could be more obvious than this. Like if he had taken Evan Corcoran in a headlock and then tried to power force feed the documents down his craw, it would not be more obvious than what he did instead.
Like I'm surprised there isn't a no backsies quote, you know, like, well, you touched it, it's yours, you touched it, you did it. Like again, with the not trying to touch him with a 10-foot pole, look at the people who have defended Donald Trump, right? Michael Cohen, prison time. Alan Weisselberg, right now, prison time, guys. Yep. These are former like CFOs and lawyers for Donald Trump. These are former Trump lawyers. They know that the likelihood they could also be facing prison time is very, very high, which is sad because it seems like the rube who did get caught up on this, I guess, didn't have a law degree or wasn't paying attention to how all the other rubes have gone down and broken the fall for Donald Trump. Yeah. So Nauta or whatever his name is now, you know, in it's United States versus Trump and Nauta.
Yeah. Like speaking of rubes, there's all these lawyers obviously who don't want to defend Donald Trump. And I get that from the point of view of being a lawyer, it would seem to be a bad thing to potentially sully your reputation by being affiliated with Donald Trump, potentially being thrown in jail as so many of his lawyers do, and potentially not being paid for all of this. But that's if you're just thinking about it in terms of I'm gonna become his lawyer and we're gonna like go to trial or something. But all you have to do is become his lawyer, stand near him for a bit.
Yep.
He'll willingly admit crimes. Yep. You write a book and you make, I don't know, $500,000. That seems like a much better plan from my point of view, because like it cannot be exaggerated how stupid and criminal Donald Trump is. He is a stupid criminal and he's a criminal that is stupid. And yes, he just openly admits to all this stuff. Every single thing that he said to Evan Corcoran was him admitting to a crime that he had already done or suggesting that Evan Corcoran commit a crime. All of this, by the way, tailor made to produce the exemption from attorney-client privilege that we talked about months ago. That's how we know about all this, is it's the crime fraud exemption. So if you are telling your lawyer to help you commit a crime or continue the crime that they're brought on to represent you on, mm-hmm, then you do not have attorney-client privilege and they can be forced to testify. Mm. I don't even know that he was forced to testify. If I were him, I'd probably be enthusiastic about testifying. But for a guy who has been sued and sued hundreds of people, how could he not know what he was setting himself up for?
Yeah, no, I think that's so important. He needs to know this. But can I just say, I didn't get to talk to you about the original scandal and how all this broke. And I truly love this indictment. I love these crimes more than any of the other crimes, because it's the one thing that Trump did absolutely to himself, for himself, and largely by himself, right? This is, he owns this completely. And it happened after he left the White House. And actually, these charges are coming pretty quickly after he left the White House. I mean, it feels like yesterday, yeah, that he was there. And these charges are coming down really quickly, even though it was what, months that they asked for these classified documents back. You can only imagine what would have happened. Probably would have avoided a lot of these charges. And no other Republican, and we'll get into this, is really coming out to defend him that much, because it's like, bro, you didn't even do this to try and stay in office where we wanted you to. You could do whatever you want with our democracy. I mean, we wipe our asses with it every single day. But when it comes to you having your little show and tell docs in your Mar-a-Lago and keeping them in the shower, yeah, we're not really gonna go with you on that, because it has nothing to do with us maintaining power.
Yeah, 100%. And by the way, in terms of them not being willing to come out and defend him, like some are criticizing him, even people that have been around him, including, by the way, some people who are part of sort of his quote unquote like legal team that avoided going to jail themselves. Bill Barr managed to do a lot of dirty work for Trump, but is not in a federal penitentiary right now. So anyway, he spent the weekend talking about the bad state that Donald Trump has found himself in. Take a look at this.
If even half of it is true, then he's toast. I mean, it's a very detailed indictment, and it's very, very damning. And this idea of presenting Trump as a victim here, a victim of a witch hunt, is ridiculous. Yes, he's been a victim in the past. Yes, his adversaries have obsessively pursued him with phony claims. And I've been at his side defending against them when he is a victim. But this is much different. He's not a victim here.
So that is, of course, Bill Barr. Remember, the guy who the week before the Mueller report came out with a pre-report riddled with lies and mischaracterizations that defenders of Trump ran with for days. Admitting that this is not looking good for Trump because, and I checked this, it's not looking good for Trump. He's just admitting what is abundantly clear while also continuing in that interview to defend Donald Trump on many of the other investigations. But he admitted the truth and for that he must be destroyed. So Donald Trump, who spent the weekend talking with Roger Stone, and I would just say, if you even arguably have a limited number of weekends as a free man, don't waste any of them on Roger Stone. That would just be my advice, bud to bud. But anyway, here is a little bit of Trump's commentary on Barr.
The losses, and this is a disgrace. This thing is a disgrace, and virtually everybody other than a lowlife like Bill Barr, who I, as you know, I terminated because he was gutless. He wouldn't do what you're supposed to do. But everybody says this is a disgraceful indictment. It shouldn't happen. It was done for political reasons.
Yeah, not everybody is saying that. Let's just be clear about that. Also, I love the Freudian slip of a low life like Bill Maher. I get it, Trump. I get how you could fall into that. But also, he's facing indictments for the classified documents thing, election related indictments to come potentially in August. And there he says, I fired him because he was gutless. He wouldn't do what he had to do. Like, maybe it's not clear what that is. He means that he wouldn't overturn the results of the election. Like, that is what he's saying. I fired this guy because he wouldn't break the law for me. Again, amazing what he admits to casually. But he goes on to say, I think he's a coward who didn't do his job. And now he goes and he sits down if they can find a chair for him because it's not that easy. And he sits down because, again, he's still on the fat shaming everyone.
Oh, God.
He's literally never seen himself. And he sits down and he bloviates and it's disgraceful. It's actually unpatriotic. It's so bad for our country, just so bad. But, you know, he got a lot of hatred.
Just another lawyer that wouldn't crime for you after criming for you for a very long time and was like, I draw the line at this one thing. You know, I would do anything for Trump, but I won't do that. They basically meatloafed it like every single other lawyer. And then they jumped ship and then they wrote a book. The real thing I want to ask Bill Barr is, quick follow up, but if he were the Republican nominee, would you vote for him?
Yeah.
I have to because the woke left. You're like, yeah, he'd totally still vote for him even if he was behind bars.
Yeah, I mean, that is effectively what Pence said just a few days ago. He's terrible, disqualifying and all that. But yeah, no, I would totally fall in line. Yeah, wonderful. Anyway, let's get just a little bit more of Barr. Remember, Barr did spend years around Donald Trump and he is technically a person who knows the law. Here are his extended thoughts.
He was totally wrong that he had the right to have those documents. Those documents are among the most sensitive secrets that the country has. They have to be in the custody of the archivist. He had no right to maintain them and retain them. And he kept them in a way at Mar-a-Lago that anyone who really cares about national security, their stomach would churn at it.
And the interesting thing about that, I think, from the point of view of a Donald Trump evaluating how much disloyalty Barr is showing is, nothing that Barr said there is new, is an interesting take or spin. It is all the most obvious interpretations of the evidence that has been presented to us. But because he dwells in the safest of spaces in his right-wing media bubble, just revealing that, like, no, this actually looks really bad. You were super clear about the obstruction. There are contemporaneous notes. You're literally on tape. This is about as, you know, like bow tied and handed to the prosecutor's case as you can imagine. Yes. To admit that is treason, effectively.
No, of course, yeah. No, just final thoughts is that, yeah, he wanted all the coolest documents, i.e. the most sensitive, the most related to military like invasions, weaponry, contingency plans, nuclear armament, like all he wanted the cool ones, i.e. the scariest ones for someone like Donald Trump to possess.
100%. Okay, we're gonna take our first break. We come back, we are gonna touch base with the North Carolina GOP convention. Bunch of right wingers trying to make themselves seem cool. And Donald Trump there in his speech actually revealing some stuff. It's pretty funny. We'll have that for you after this. Okay, everybody, let's jump into this. The GOP had their big North Carolina convention and many presidential contenders showed up. Donald Trump was the big get though. He gave a 90-minute keynote speech, and in 90 minutes, there's a lot of time for a lot of crazy things to be said. But I wanna spotlight this video because it just revealed, like, Donald Trump will do something that other Republicans are doing, but then just blurt out why they're doing it in a way that they're not supposed to. They're just supposed to do it. Take a look at this, it's amazing.
In critical race theory, transgender insanity, and other inappropriate racial, sexual, or political content on our children. It's amazing how strongly people feel about that. You see, I'm talking about cutting taxes, people go like that. Talk about transgender, everyone goes crazy. Who would have thought 5 years ago you didn't know what the hell it was? But one
he just admitted their whole thing. Hey, I say transgender and you all go crazy like piranha. 5 years ago, none of us even cared about this. Look, let's keep it real. 2 years ago, none of them cared about it. Because it wasn't something they needed to care about.
Yep.
They're just doing it because it gets people. He's just admitting their whole political strategy. They don't actually care about any of this. It's just red meat for psychotic bigots. That's all it is.
Yeah, it is. It is funny also to see him, especially when a narrative was not crafted by himself, you know, whether it's like the birtherism BS, you know, or if it's the border, or it's, you know, Muslims or whatever. It's, if it didn't come from him, he's just sort of like, it's just like Trump putting on his sociology hat, like, wow, it's really amazing what you hogs will devour. Just some random, you like that, don't you? You're stupid, you didn't know it. You had no idea what being trans was. That's amazing. Oh, you're dumb too. Look at you, you're all gonna vote for me, you stupid idiots, and I love it. Anyway, like, it's just, he can do this to his own audience. It's incredible. He's like, it's like dawning on him in real time, like, oh, I'm dumb, but I'm like, you know, normal dumb. You guys are like, I will literally devour anything you put in front of me, dumb. 100%. Wow. I mean, I've got taste.
It's the thing, whatever. Where you become too popular for the grift, where you start to lose respect for the thing that got you popular and the people that like you. And you're just like, God, you really are big dumb donkeys. That's all any of you are. It's like what last week he was like, woke, nobody even knows what it means. I don't care, it doesn't mean anything, you guys like it. And then he goes back to using the term, he's spitting in their faces and they're like, yeah, I'm really moist now. I don't get it. But anyway, I wanna move on to another video. Donald Trump sometimes finds himself caught between competing interests. So he often wants to present himself as being very powerful and influential. And so he'll tell stories that are designed to be like, look at the power I have. But then sometimes the way that he uses that power, he realizes all too late, is that actually something that conservatives would be remotely interested in? Here's a perfect demonstration of that.
Talk about that, because I had to save the oil companies. They were all gonna go bust. I said, this is the first time I've ever said, we gotta get it up a little bit. I actually called Russia and the King of Saudi Arabia. We had a three-way call and we cut back on the oil because it was so incredible, help fill up the strategic national reserves, and he's now taken all of that to reduce gasoline prices for cars just prior to the election, very artificially. And he's reduced it down to the lowest level that it's been in, I think, 60 years.
Do you guys get what he just did there? In mid-set, he said, the gas companies are losing money. We have to get it up. We have to raise the price of gasoline. So I called up my buddies, the heads of Russia and Saudi Arabia, and we cut back the gas to raise the strategic reserve. Did you hear about Biden and the strategic? First, that doesn't even make sense as a non sequitur, because raising the cost of gas does not make it easier to pump up the strategic reserve. He said he called the leaders of two autocratic countries to make gas more expensive, yes, and realized mid-sentence, oh, people pay for gas, they're not gonna like that. Let me just talk about Biden and the fact that he made gas less expensive, which now you're supposed to hate. Even though I'm showing that I understand that you hate gas prices going up, I'm gonna make you hate the guy that lowered them.
Again, he doesn't know who he's supposed to be talking. He doesn't, and this is, look, this is why people like Trump, and this is why Trump is actually entertaining, because he doesn't have an inside voice. His inside voice is his outside voice. People are like, you know, we know what's in his heart. Yeah, because he just blabs it. Like, it's like everything that enters his mind comes out his mouth. That's it. He cannot modulate. But I also love that he also was there a little bit of admission that he strategically had gas prices raised before the election? Like, that seemed also like, you know, and so before the election, I made sure that they were not pumping out as much gas, so it would look better for me.
I don't know if he said the timeline. When he referenced the election there, he was saying that it's unacceptable for Biden to release gas because there was an election 6 months later or something.
Got it.
Also, gas prices had massively spiked. That's the context he leaves out of it.
Oh, yeah, incredible.
It's just incredible how much he admits there. But anyway, I don't want.
What if Biden had done that? Can you imagine if Biden just admitted to that?
Can you imagine if Biden did literally one of a thousand things that Trump has done?
Can you imagine if Biden did any? But this is the other thing. Sadly, then Biden's going to Saudi Arabia, begging them to please, please, please produce, or you know, to produce more oil, basically, because we need it after the, you know, the Russia-Ukraine war, and they're like, no, thanks.
It is just amazing how, like, that video would kill most politicians.
Yes.
Back in 2016, he multiple times said on the debate stage, wages are too high. And the other contenders couldn't make anything of that. Well, because they also want wages to be lower. But like, poor conservatives are like, yeah, wages are too high, I should be paid less. It makes no sense to me. But as I was gonna say, I don't want you to think that in 90 minutes he only focused on policy. He also passed on his life wisdom. For instance, in this clip, he warns people to not make the same mistake as he did when he did a late night KFC run.
All of a sudden you see that big fat dump, that big dump at 3:02 or whatever it was in the morning. It's a disgrace what happened.
That one's just for me. Anyway, it's a ridiculous speech, it's a ridiculous man. There, he's lying about Pennsylvania being stolen because the votes from densely populated urban centers in Pennsylvania were tallied later than small rural areas. And so for some reason that means they don't count. We're not gonna relitigate all the big lie stuff or whatever, but it's just ridiculous.
I forgot that he's got so many catchphrases, but that was one of his dumps, right? The big dumps.
Big dumps.
Big steamy.
Their
dumps.
Votes. They were cast at the exact same time as the rural areas, you big dumb dummy. Anyway. That's what Trump thinks about all this. That's what was going on inside of the convention. But outside of the convention, there were Trump fans and Republicans. What do they think about the many charges he's now facing? Well, here's CNN interviewing them.
I think it's a bunch of bull. Trump ain't done that wrong. Thing Trump done is saved this country.
They're not going to let it stop. Mm-hmm. They can't stand the fact that he's running for president. And I am a Donald Trump fan.
It's probably altered, but it's just typical liberal propaganda.
None of the Republican voters CNN spoke with had read the indictment.
No, I wouldn't waste my time on a phony indictment.
I don't care about the indictment. You could indict a bologna sandwich.
What he did is incorrect, absolutely incorrect. But the system allowed it to happen. The system is broken. It needs to be fixed.
Lock him up. Your servant. What? Yeah. Lock you up. You support Hillary Clinton. She done a lot wrong.
You're
an idiot.
Oh, democracy. I think you're gonna be okay. Look, this isn't, again, as I always say when we show regular people or whatever, this is not about the individual regular people. I trust based on experience of years that they are representative. These are people in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. who are like, look, let's keep it real. You saw the video. They are struggling to say the little bit, like the line that they had heard about a bologna sandwich, or no, I'm not gonna like look at the specific charges. He's trying to save America. They like fall back on these like vague slogans. They're full grown adults that are, they're just, look, it's a complex, chaotic world, and they're doing their best to survive in it. And just, they've been conned by massive grifters who have no respect for them. So I do feel bad for these people. But there is a significant chunk of the country that are like them. They don't care what he's been charged with. They will never believe it. Literally, if it's from his own mouth, an audio recording of him saying it, that he is not even denying yet that he said. He's lied about a lot. He's not even denying that the tape is true. They will not believe it, because it's easier to just go on with their preconceived notions about him. It is unfortunate.
Yeah, obviously it goes beyond the shooting someone on Fifth Avenue, which, by the way, a lawyer said it would have been more beneficial to him to have shot someone on Fifth Avenue than to have kept this many classified documents and obstructed justice. Yeah, he could be drinking the adrenochrome of a small child live on air, and they'd be like, no. Yeah. That's a deep fake. But here's the thing about Trump voters, and you do kind of, I mean, I feel you feeling for them, and you do kind of feel for them. And two things. One, I think they should all be asked, could it be possible that you, sir, are being played? Are you being grifted on? Are you being fooled by Donald Trump? Like, that is the question. It's not, do you think this happened? Do you think it didn't happen? It's not the specifics. It's, is he playing you? And I think that's what all these folks need to answer. And the second thing is, sir, don't you realize you can still be racist without Donald Trump? And I want everyone to know, if you've got a family member, let them know. They can still be bigots. They can still be terrible. The Republican Party, sadly, is going to continue to exist.
I mean, there was a Confederate flag on one of those individuals. And I love the automatic assumption that if you don't like Trump, that you like Hillary Clinton. I would like to assure that gentleman, I'm living proof that that is not necessarily the case. But anyway, I did want to bring up this topic of the supporters, because we now need to turn to, I would say, slightly more deranged or less ranged Trump supporters. Let's jump into this C block. Tomorrow, as of when we're recording this, Trump is expected to be arraigned. We'll see exactly what happens with that. Will he be held? Almost certainly not. He'll be released. But what we do know is that it is going to be a scene. Protests are expected. Donald Trump has been amplifying those protests over the past few days, saying you should go down there. And we all remember the last time he did that, it worked out super well for everyone. Now, in advance of all of that, the online chatter in some of the most pro-Trump areas of the internet has been aggressive, I'll say. We need to start killing these traitorous F stains, one Trump supporter on the Donald wrote. This is a message board that used to be on Reddit and then was eventually kicked off because it was too crazy even for Reddit. Another user added, it's not gonna stop until bodies start stacking up. We are not civilly represented anymore, and they'll come for us next. Some of us, they already have. So they've bought into that thing of they're not coming for Trump, they're coming for everybody, but Trump is in the way. I'll never understand that when so many of the crimes Trump has committed are for his own personal benefit and have nothing to do with anybody, but they believe it. Trump supporters have made specific threats too, not just generally, I wanna start murdering people. One post says, a little bit about Merrick Garland, his wife, his daughters. Under the post, another user replied, his children are fair game as far as I'm concerned. One said Jack Smith should be arrested the minute he steps foot in the red state of Florida. So, generally start killing people, start killing the specific people who, I mean, Merrick Garland isn't even involved in the investigation, but he's in the Biden administration, so definitely kill him. Kill his family members, kill his kids. Specifically, kids are totally fine to go for, and at the very least lock up Jack Smith. So they're not pulling their punches rhetorically. It could not be any more clear. We have yet to see this week if Trump supporters will actually start killing people. It has happened multiple times over the past year. People have written the manifestos, they picked up an assault rifle, they've gone and killed people, or they've bashed in the heads of politicians' husbands. It's almost become routine. Will it happen this week? I don't know for sure, but there are a lot of people waiting in the wings, rooting for it to happen. What do you think, Francesca?
I think that the this level of political violence is something that the mainstream news does not at all take seriously enough. I mean, you see, right? We had CNN head Chris Licht like leaving office. I mean, leaving his position. It's like, and obviously it wasn't for that town hall, but that's what happens when you platform someone like this. And I think in a large part, mainstream news is so obsessed with like, you know, the Trump rodeo, the Trump show. It's fascinating. It's crazy. But like, this is what actually happens. What actually happens is people die. Homes are broken into, like bomb threats are issued, it's been that since day one of the campaign, when immigrants were attacked and the verbatim word that their assailant left them with was, it's Donald Trump's America now, right? And so like, this is all like, I hope he goes to jail, all this, but the die has been cast on political violence. And the question is, how do we put this back in the bag? What happens now? And we're gonna need a Justice Department. We're sadly, because we're gonna need an FBI, and we're not gonna need an FBI setting people up on like ridiculous entrapment schemes, because there are actual militias and people and psychos, right? Yeah. We don't need them to create new plots. They're being carried out now.
Yeah. And by the way, if it happens this week, it'll be those right wingers will commit the act of violence, and then the rest will be like, now we have to go on TV and say it's a false flag. I wanted to do something else this week. I wanted to talk about Target, and now I need to pretend to think it's a false flag. Anyway, I want to turn now to a specific person calling for violence, or at least implying that violence is justified. Sometimes over the weekend when we're not broadcasting, a monster will emerge from the sewers and produce for us a Monday menace. Carrie Lake back in the news, seeming to heavily hint that a particular type of response is justified after the indictments against Donald Trump. She put up this message: I have a message tonight for Merrick Garland and Jack Smith and Joe Biden and the guys back there in the fake news media. You should listen up as well. This one's for you. If you want to get to President Trump, you're going to have to go through me, and you're going to have to go through 75 million Americans just like me. And most of us are card carrying members of the NRA. That's not a threat. That's a public service announcement. Fact check. It's at least both. Anyway, we will not let you lay a finger on President Trump. Frankly, now is the time to cling to our guns and our religion.
Okay, loser.
Yeah, first of all, definitely okay, loser. Second of all, that is like, do I have to tell people to Google stochastic terrorism? Yep. Like, what am I? First of all, she's definitely not going to be there. Grifters do not often go on the front lines of conflicts like this, I've noticed. No, she's not going to do any of this. But she loves the idea that someone would, or at the very least, she loves the aura of being the person who's willing to threaten. When the FBI comes for Trump, we're going to murder them, is what she's saying. She wants the cred for being the person who would threaten to kill the feds. She's definitely not going to do it herself. It remains to be seen if someone will, but she is willing to encourage that for a little bit of brief cred. What do you think?
Yeah, you're 100% right. Like, you imagine shoe on the other foot if any Democrat got within, like, just, I don't know, even just sort of jokingly suggested. You know, even when I make a dumb joke, like people are like, oh, you really shouldn't, you know, talk about anyone, you know, tripping on a rake and dying. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, like or Mitch McConnell falling in the shower, but actually, you know, losing consciousness forever sleep, Mitch McConnell. You know, like people get so mad when anyone, like any Democrat, any progressive, like, you know, at all talks about a Republican losing their life. And the Republicans are actively like, everyone, please go kill the Democrats.
Yeah.
Anyway, no retaliation, tight. But yes, look, Charlie Kirk, same thing. After you, coward, are you going? Was Alex Jones at the front of the Jan 6 riots?
Weird. Weird.
Funny. He was just like, his voice sort of slowly went into the distance. I'm right behind you.
I think there's a barbecue place back
there. Somebody has to hold them responsible. Yeah.
No, that every single time. I love the fake revolutionaries. They're my favorite type of grifter.
1770. Ooh, look, a vending machine. Okay, I'll be right there.
100%. I hate it. And look, we already know we can briefly bring up the polls. Lots of people, when polled, say that they believe all the crazy stuff and they believe violence. 18.7% agree strongly or very strongly that violence or force is needed to protect American democracy. Okay, that's what they believe. We can take this seriously or not take this seriously. Seems pretty serious to me, but what do I know? Anyway, I only live in a country that's like routinely riddled with racist and politically motivated violence. That's it for this block of the show. We're gonna take a little break. We come back, talk about something completely different. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Okay, everybody, we've got other news to discuss. So with that, why don't we jump into this?
Yeah. It was out there though, bro. Whatever it is right there. It's out there. Look. Yeah, whatever it is underneath. It's coming out the middle too. You can see it. Because people are sitting there trying to watch it. Like, what the
f***? Oh. Don't watch it.
Be careful. It's a blue up. That's what it is.
That is utterly amazing footage uploaded to TikTok from a couple who passed over the section of Interstate 95 that just moments later would utterly collapse. And in that disaster, thankfully, no drivers were injured, no drivers were killed. But that video shows how close some came to losing their lives in that. If you're not familiar with this disaster, a tanker truck basically below the interstate filled up with, we don't know exactly how much oil, but enough that it burned, weakened the structure above it, which then collapsed. This is, if you're not from this area of Philadelphia, you haven't like been on Interstate 95, it is like impossible to overstate how important it is. It's a major highway that has been destroyed. I think we can actually put up a little bit of the results of it. Let's take a look at this. And you're gonna see there in the top left corner, it just folded in like paper and fell apart. Again, thankfully, no one lost their lives, but this is a major disaster. It's going to take at least months to repair. And in the meantime, can't be used, which is a massive disruption to traffic and people's ability to move in that area. Governor Shapiro of the state did give an update. Here's a little bit of that.
And this morning, according to first responders here in Philadelphia and the Pennsylvania State Police, at approximately 6:20 a.m., a vehicle fire underneath I-95 behind me here caused a portion of the highway above to collapse. At least one vehicle is still trapped underneath the collapsed roadway. We're still working to identify any individual or individuals who may have been caught in the fire and the collapse. While this is still very much an active scene, I just completed an aerial view of the site and received a briefing from law enforcement, first responders, and transportation experts on the ground together with Mayor Kenney. As has been reported, the northbound side of I-95 has completely collapsed, and the southbound side is not structurally sound to carry any traffic over it.
So that section will also have to be destroyed and replaced. And in the meantime, for the potentially months, one of like the main arteries of essentially like north-south arteries of the East Coast has been destroyed. A reminder, by the way, that like we made a lot of jokes about Infrastructure Week during the Trump administration, how it never came up. But like the reason those jokes kept coming up is it would be great if we as a country took our infrastructure more seriously. Now, thankfully, under Biden, one part of the Build Back Better plan that became the IRA does actually concern itself with infrastructure of a variety of different types. I don't know if it would have helped in this case had it been passed years before. Maybe it'll avert some disasters on bridges and highways in the future, but Like, we're a country that it has become cliche over the past few decades to say that our infrastructure is crumbling, and it never really receives the attention that it deserves. Francesca, what do you think?
Yeah, I just can't wait for the, you know, the Uber of helicopter services to allow you to just sort of, you know, pick up your vehicle and fly you over that section of I-95 for $249 round trip. So, you know, yay for all the tech maggots that love to feast on the dead carcass of American infrastructure. But yeah, it reminds me, of course, of the best Onion headline maybe ever. From 2011, Al-Qaeda claims US mass transportation infrastructure must drastically improve before any terrorist attacks. So we are safe, y'all. We're safe. We're doing it to ourselves. But this is the real thing, you know. Biden needs to make a moment out of this. And it's the one area where I'm like, yes, please ratchet up anti-China rhetoric. If it means that we can have better infrastructure, be like, China's beating us. Yeah, keep doing it. So we can get things like high-speed rail, you know, bridges that don't collapse because there's a fire.
Yeah, highways that aren't made of recycled cheese graters, perhaps.
Yeah, that'd be
yeah, that would be delightful. Mike, we're gonna stay on this for the remainder of the hour, I think, because there's a few more things I want to say about this. But yeah. I think hopefully we can do it without the anti-China rhetoric, but I understand what you're saying. Yeah, everybody needs to move. And for some reason, it's just, it never receives the money, the funding, the attention that it deserves. In LA, obviously, there's a good amount of effort that's being put into like the metro and stuff like that, but the highways are absolutely disastrous. Like it's like, I have to imagine that there are people living in parts of the world that think, oh, LA, glamorous, Hollywood and everything. Our highways are an utter joke. And most people wouldn't know that until they actually visit it.
Okay, but it moves, John. The traffic moves. This is what I will defend about LA. Other cities not prepared for this amount of cars. Does your traffic move? No, it doesn't. Ours does. Yeah. Okay, back to you.
Well, in any event, Karine Jean-Pierre, press secretary, says the president's been briefed on the matter and is, you know, involved. I think it is likely that any sort of transportation-based disaster that happens for the remainder of Biden's term is going to be taken seriously, at least public facing. It's going to be taken seriously because we already have the disasters with the planes, the disasters with the trains. If we have the automobiles, then they got to call like Steve Martin and John Candy because at that point they've got big issues. So they're taking this seriously. They want everyone to know they're taking it seriously. Pete Buttigieg sent out some tweets saying this is a major artery for people and goods and the closure will have significant impacts. Our department will be there with support throughout the process of I-95 returning to normal. And I expect that Buttigieg will take this seriously. I don't know if that will actually help, but he will take it seriously. Because if he gets a third strike, then he may not get to be president someday. So I think that he's going to be on the spot for this. Basically, they've already talked in the state about tapping into federal funds to expedite construction. I imagine that however many workers you can stuff into that area of highway, they're going to, but it's still a big task to get that up and running as fast as possible.
Yeah. I mean, congrats, libertarians. You know, you guys don't believe in any public roads, and slowly but surely, you're getting your way.
Yeah, we have a comment from Marcus Otera. It says, as someone from Pennsylvania, we're looking at least half a year of Penn DOT not doing anything. Look, I don't know the Department of Transportation of Pennsylvania. My guess would be that this is going to receive extra focus, but we'll see. Like you can't have that down for a day long.
Crypto.highway, right? Is that, can we get a Doge sponsorship for this?
It's just gonna be made of tiles of bored apes. That's how they're gonna fund it.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's hope not. Okay, well, we still have like a minute. So I'm gonna read a few of your comments. Paolo, member for 15 months, says, hey, John, you have to remember that you have to shave your newborn's head if you don't want them to end up bald like me. I'm sure Francesca will back me up. If I had hair, I'd be unstoppable. Is that a thing, shaving the newborn's head so that it'll grow more hair? Is that like is that like the shaving myth that it grows back thicker?
Whoa, I'd never heard that.
I don't know. Anyway, okay, with that said, that is all the time we have for the first hour of the show. Thank you to everybody for joining us on linear platforms or on the podcast. Reminder, as always, that there is other content that we film every single day and is made available on Facebook as well as on our YouTube page at youtube.com/thedamagereport. So definitely check that out. Coming up in the aftermath, we do have a lot to talk about, including the Young Women's Leadership Summit that just happened. Conservatives telling women how they should live their life. You know, that's gonna be fun. And what is woke? turns out almost everything. We're gonna run you through the list after this. We'll see you just in just a few.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.